All right, let's fire this puppy off. Here we go. 1,074.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
P.O. Showtime!
My fly is open.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the stolen, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChannelAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1074 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Howdy.
Yeah, you know, yesterday I got to conduct a training for the new guys, the new team, the team that came over, three guys from that got merged into our team, and I was tapped to do it last week. And I went in there, like, I didn't know what the expectations were when I went in there. So I asked a guy who organized this. Basically, it was covering, like, some of our infrastructure stuff. And knowing that they were part of this other team that another guy that I work with kind of works with, I thought that they were somewhat familiar with all the stuff that we use. But it turns out this part of the team has not used, like, any of the technology that we use, and has been primarily on, like, WordPress. And so they have a lot of WordPress experience, but the other stuff that we do, not really. And so I had an hour slotted to me to present them with all this information, and these wonderful, nice people showed up to drink from the fountain of knowledge that I was going to give them. And I just opened up that fire hose and blasted their heads off.
They're speechless.
And I felt kind of bad at the end. I'm like, oh, okay. Is there anything that I haven't covered or that you have any questions about? And they're like, well, this is a lot.
They were all like, they're all like, Neo, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah, they're like, this is a lot of stuff. And I'm like, you know, don't worry if you're overwhelmed or whatever. You know, if you ever have any questions or whatever, just, you know, hit me up. We can do more sessions if you want. I'm always here, except when I'm not working. So just reach out, not a problem. But yeah, I was, man, it was a lot to try and cover in an hour. You know, all the different technologies and how the infrastructure and all of it comes together. So it was fun. It also, it's one of those things where you start going through it and you're like, oh man, that's a little out of date, and this needs to get changed or updated. And holy crap, this is still around. We got to get rid of that.
Right?
There's like, I'm going through one of these things and I'm like, what the hell is this? I have no idea what this is. And I wrote it. I'm like, I don't know what this is. Why is this in here? And so, like, one of the things I realized yesterday is as we have been updating or upgrading our VIP environment, WordPress VIP environment, from, I believe we started on like PHP, I want to say 7.9, and like WordPress, I think 5 or something, 5 something. We have since iterated through like 8.1, 8.2. We're currently on 8.3. We just moved to 8.3. And then it's been like WordPress 6.2, 6.3, 6.4, 6.5. Not 6.6. And I'm looking at the test image, which I built for doing our continuous integration end-to-end testing through Cypress, and realized while we're on, we just moved to 8.3 and WordPress 6.6.2, The test image is back on WordPress 6.2 and PHP 8.1. Actually it was PHP 8.2, I think. So it was pretty out of date. And I wrote all the tools and everything that I built it. I wrote all the tools and everything that it's really easy to update. All it is just changing the base image pretty much. I mean, at some point I suspect we might have to do more because of, you know, just how distributions change, and maybe we have to do some things. It's just I believe it's either Debian, or it might even just be Ubuntu, or it's, I forget which one it is. It's just a PHP 8.3, starts with the PHP WordPress 6.6, PHP 8.3 Apache Docker container, adds a few things on it, makes some configurations so that we can then use it as WordPress, and saves us from having to try and build everything from scratch in the workflow. And of course, the problem that we have, like the image, getting all that built and everything and everything fixed, aside from my continuous typos and trying to figure out why I didn't do it a certain way to begin with, which would have made it even easier for me, and I should change it. Like, instead of me putting in the, like, what I should have done with the job is put in, when I go to build it, it should ask you, like, what version of PHP, what version of WordPress, and then build it that way. Instead, I took the lazy way out, and I put a version file in the repo, which had the version of PHP, the version of WordPress, and it would build the image that, and the version of the image that I want that version to be. And it builds it that way instead of putting that information in. And I should have changed that. So once, like, the building of the image took, like, all total 5 or 6 minutes, it was ready to go. The testing with the image took the whole freaking day. It was kind of a pain in the ass. Really easy to fix, but it took me a long time to figure out what the problem was. Largely because when we run, and this is a problem I keep running into, and it's not, I don't want to blame Docker at all on this. It's not strictly Docker, but surprisingly, getting to running the tests in the workflow is pretty quick. It's like a minute and a half, 2 minutes, or whatever, and that's taking care of pulling down the image, pulling down the database, getting WordPress installed, or not WordPress, getting our combining it with our repository, building our code, and then running it with the database, get everything configured, and then run Cypress. The Cypress tests themselves take at least 15 minutes to run through all of them. It's appallingly slow. And what gets frustrating about it is you can see that the tests fail, but you don't know why they failed until the whole thing is finished. Then you can download the artifacts, which is a video snapshot of what Cypress was doing. Because the way that Cypress works is it runs a headless browser, either Chrome, Electron, or Firefox. I believe we're just having it use Electron at this point. No, I think in the CI it runs Chrome, I think, headless. And when we run it locally, we use Electron, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it'll record a video of it, and then that's the artifact. So you can replay the video to see where it failed and hopefully why it failed. But by and large, I just need to know what the tests are that failed, and hopefully, fingers crossed, I can replicate that locally, just running it in our local dev environment. And this was the case today. Now, I've had it in the past where it fails up in the CI environment, but it passes locally. And then you're sitting there beating your head up again, off the wall. And there's also been times where it's failed in CI, and I've actually pulled the image down that we're running with it on, and it passes locally using that same image, and I'm sitting there, you know, that becomes a really frustrating thing to try and figure out. But today, it was, what it came down to is because we went from WordPress 6.2 to 6.6 in the image, there were changes that were made, and some of the class names changed. And that's like how you do a lot of stuff with the Cypress testing, is if you need to tell it to like click a button or to verify that a section or an object on the page is there, it's largely via classes in the HTML objects. So class name changes, now all of a sudden the test starts failing. So then you have to pull it up and whip out your inspector and start digging through the source code while you're trying to replicate what the test is doing to figure out, is this class name still there? Where is the thing that is trying to hit? What is the new class name? Okay, let's switch it and see if that fixes the problem. And luckily today it did. And what made it even easier is that of the five different tests, and these are in five different files that failed, it was all the same thing, just because that single class name had changed. It was a toolbar that it was trying to click a button on, and that button's class name changed. And I said about using Electron locally as opposed to Chromium or Google Chrome. And I think it is actually Chrome. It used to be Chromium. It might now just be headless Chrome. I don't know. But the problem that we had with doing this locally is that we would end up in a loop, and we could never figure it out on Chrome. Like, it would go to log in on the test, and it would just end up looping at that login, and it would never work. And you switch to Electron and it works. Now, what's chapping my ass now about it is that on Friday, and I'll get to this in a minute, I had the opportunity to upgrade my work laptop to Sonoma. And since I had
time,
yeah, no kidding. Since I had done that, when I ran the Cypress tests under Electron, I couldn't run all our integration tests. Like, my plan was, I'm going to pull up the interactive mode and I'm going to run all the integration tests. And it got about a third of the way through and bombed out, saying it didn't have, like, it could be one of three things they're suggesting. It could be not having enough memory, or not, you know, X, Y, and Z. And it was kind of a pain in the butt. So I started running them individually, and which I was going to do anyway to try and figure out which ones were tested. But originally, I just wanted to see which tests would fail locally. Now, running it headless without the interactive mode, I did not have a problem. And sure enough, I was able to replicate the problem in the CI environment. It's the same five tests that were failing. But then when I run it in the interactive mode, when it pops up the browser to actually kind of get a good idea as to why it's failing, you could then bring up the developer tools and inspect it and look at the classes on things. And it makes it a heck of a lot easier to troubleshoot this thing. I kept running into a problem where, as I'm sitting there trying to troubleshoot this and looking across, like, looking, hey, what's going on? Like, what's it look like in our production environment? Did things change? This and that. And it would just die. It would just, like, the screen would go black. Not my laptop, but just the Cypress Electron browser screen would just kind of like fade to black, and then I have to kill it and start it up again, which was kind of annoying. So I tried Chromium or Google Chrome, And this time Google Chrome worked. It didn't get into a loop, but it was like sluggish and seemed it ended in a loop. It did. It just seemed like to get to the end of the test and just keep going, like repeating. So it wasn't on a login this time. It actually looked like to the end of the test, and I don't know what the hell it was doing. So I had to give up on that one too. But it was a challenge. Now it's possible we need to upgrade Cypress, but that was certainly not something I was going to do to try and fix this situation. Because if you think upgrading WordPress or something like PHP in the test image and things might change, causing a problem, trying to upgrade to the latest version of Cypress is fucking nightmare. So it's like having to change a ton of crap. And I didn't want to have to do that. Let somebody else do that. I'm lazy. As I had said, I did finally upgrade to Sonoma, and that was a punch in the fucking face, I will tell you. So, Joel, do you have self-service?
Self-service. What, Jamf?
Yeah.
Well, that's complicated because we switched over to something else. Just like all of a sudden, like, now see, I've been on Sonoma for a while now, okay?
Uh-huh.
And we did use Jamf, all right? But when, whatever the next one, what's the latest? Whatever the latest one is, which is not Sonoma, Sonoma's the old version. Whenever the new version came out, I got a little red thing. It says, hey, you can upgrade. So I go in there and it says, hey, the latest version's out. But your organization and the profile that your organization controls says you can't get it, essentially. I'm greatly simplifying it, okay?
Uh-huh.
So then I had this stupid red number. You know how you get the little red numbers all over the place when you have notifications? So I had that stupid red thing irritating the F out of me every day, you know, because I'm like, I can't... Yeah.
So you're talking about the problem where it tells you there's an upgrade available to your system,
and you look at it,
and it's an Apple upgrader says you can update to the latest, but Jamf won't let you do it.
No, but yeah, whatever. Yeah, the profile, whatever it is. So, but then we switched to something called, I think, Workplace One. All of a sudden, mid last week, I got a notification that says, hey, there's updates to apply. So I go to apply it, and I thought it was going to be the new upgrade, but it ended up being something like that. So so we switched to work. It's the same as my mobile. Hold on. I think it is. Hold on. Why can't I find the app on here? Workspace One, I think, or something like that.
Do you like it?
Nah, I don't really care.
I tell you what. Does ServiceNow make Jamf? Because it sucks.
It sucks.
This app, I don't know if your experience has been the same as mine, but of course, if you try and click on the upgrade in the Apple upgrader, it tells you can't do this. The company policy, you have to do it through your company's self-service.
Yep.
And that's Jamf. And so, you know, and I'm aware of that. So when it was available to me in Jamf, and I clicked on it. Oh, this was Friday at 10:45. At 11:45, nothing had happened. It's just sitting there spinning. And so, like, I'm like, what's going on? So I click on it, and it says, are you sure you want to cancel? Because it's in the process. And I'm like, well, no, I don't want to cancel. So I'm like, no, I don't want to cancel. I just want to see what, like, tell me something. And then, like, after I hit no, it said there was an error and it exited out. So I'm like, oh, what? So I clicked it again. And then 45 minutes later, it's still spinning. And I'm like,
trying to find more information. I don't know why he does.
Yeah.
And then it's like, are you sure you want to cancel? It's in the middle of upgrading. I'm like, no. So I let it go for another hour and a half, at which point this is what I did. After that second time, I restarted. I'm like, well, maybe I just need to restart something, whatever. And I had all I closed all my applications because I never know what it's doing, and I don't want to be in the middle of something when it wants to shut everything down, because either it just kills everything and shuts it down and I lose work, or it tells me it can't shut down because things are open and I go to close them and then it doesn't shut down anyway. And then I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Shut it down myself? It gets really confusing. So then I restarted and I let it run again for like another hour, and it wasn't doing anything. And I was so freaking frustrated. So I went over and I'm like, well, let me just see what happens. So I clicked on the upgrade to the Apple upgrader, and that one at least shows me progress. It shows me like, okay, we're downloading the image. And then it downloaded the image. Like, actually, no. At one point, something happened and it errored out. Like, I came back and it was bad. It just wasn't. So I tried it one more time. This was about 4:00. I'm like, all right, I'm not getting any work done today. I might as well just click that button and see what happens. And when I came back to it, I think Saturday morning, it was updated to Sonoma. So, like, Jamf failed me so many times. And then the Apple upgrader installed it anyway, so I don't know what the deal is. Like,
yeah, now, see, I've never applied an OS upgrade through Jamf. Now, there's been things in Jamf that literally, like when I ran it, that updated policies on the laptop that allowed me to install it through the same method you would if you just bought your Mac, you know.
Uh huh.
But I've never had to do an OS upgrade through that.
Now, here's the interesting, and I think I know what happened. Like, I think I know kind of where the problem is. A guy I work closely with also decided to upgrade to Sonoma.
Sequoia is the latest.
And he started through the Apple upgrade and was told, no, he has to do it through Jamf. So he went and did it through self-service, and it worked for him the first time. And what I think the problem was is – I think for some reason, the self-service was having a hard time coordinating the downloading of the update. So it was, I don't know, maybe it was timing out or whatever for self-service, and that was causing the problem. So when I went under the Apple upgrade and it downloaded the whole image, at that point, since I already had started it with self-service, I guess something clicked in this whole process that said, okay, it was already started in self-service, but it was failing to download or whatever. So now that it's downloaded and ready to go, and we already started it through self-service before, we're going to let it pass. So that's what I think happened. Whereas he probably didn't experience that same problem I did, because he went through the Apple updater and downloaded the whole thing to begin with and then was told no, went into self-service. It was already downloaded, luckily, and he was able to get it installed. But I've run into that problem so much with the self-service crap. Like, we get updates forced on us on a regular basis, but you can defer them like up to 3 times. And it's like clockwork. I have a standing meeting every day at 10:30. At 10:15, here comes the updater. And it says, you have 1 or 2 deferments left if you want to use them. And at some point, eventually, it's 10:15, you don't have any deferments left. You have to take this upgrade. And then I'm like, okay, whatever. Close all your stuff. And I have to be really careful with that, because if I don't close everything, half the time it doesn't work. And if I do close everything, about 25% of the time, I don't know if it's working or not. Like, that's what I hate about OS X updates. Like, I don't know what it's doing.
I never see any progress. And I'm like, is it downloading? Is it installing? Can I do work? Is it going to cause a problem if I do work? What's it doing? And then when it reboots, then it's like a half hour later, it's done actually processing all the updates, installing them and everything. And it's such a damn nightmare. Why can't it be like Linux, Dave?
I don't know, Dave.
Yeah, you press it, you do that update, and it just updates everything. It says sometimes, like, depending on what tool you're using, it's like, you should probably restart. You don't have to, but you should. Things might not work. And then you're sitting there, and half the shit's working fine anyway. Unless it's audio, like USB audio related, then don't work no more. Like, it just stops working. You're like, why the hell doesn't my microphone work? Why can't I get any sound out? Restart, and it's working perfectly fine again. That's the way you do it. Now, I can't compare it to any Windows, because I haven't run Windows in over a decade. So I have no idea what goes on the Windows side. Joel will have to answer that.
I barely have that anymore either. I mean, I use it personally, but you know, I just get whatever it is in the OS. You know, I don't have a problem generally.
Dave, next NYXT browser.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. We were talking about how I installed it last week and was trying it out. Probably forgot all about it until right at the start of the show. I look over on my one tab and Firefox is open up to the Nix browser documentation. I'm like, oh, yeah, that. I completely forgot about that. So I haven't touched the damn thing at all.
Have you ever used Vivium? It's a browser extension for, I guess it's Firefox, Google, Chrome, Firefox, Edge, and Chrome. It's Vim like.
Oh, that. I don't know if it was Vivium. I did try one out a long time ago, and I had problems with it.
I use Vivium. In the last 4 days, I quit using Firefox, and I decided to, at least for the time being, I'm going to use the Qt browser, Qute browser, which is very minimal. It has no GUI. It's all keyboard driven. And it's Vim-like shortcuts, hinting. Vivium browser has a lot of these features. The Vivium extension has a lot of these features. Same ones that the Next browser has, where you hit a button and you've got all these hints that come up that you can navigate links with your keyboard, kind of thing. I'm liking it. It's been an adjustment because I use the Bitwarden, but I've got a Rofi script that will look at the Bitwarden database and pull the name and password and populate fields in the Qt browser. The only thing I really can't do in the Qt browser that I can do in Firefox is that I used to do, or that I usually did, was the Joplin web extension. That's it. I mean, I can still copy and paste into a Joplin notebook, but it's not as easily.
How did you get Qt browser installed?
Hold on a minute. I think it's in the AUR, but let me look.
It's not part of Qt Fish, is it?
No. It's it's in the extra repository, so it's not an AUR, it's just Qt browser, Qtebrowser.
Oh, Qute. Oh, I was looking at Qute.
Yeah, it uses Qt WebKit and Python, but it's very fast. It's as far as memory usage goes, I can have 20 tabs open, and I'm using probably 15 or 20% less RAM than I'd be using in Firefox. But what made me, I know Joe mentioned last week the one tab extension, which I had installed, but I quit using. I was using that auto tab discard extension in Firefox, And I was ended up using both of them, and that got my RAM usage down significantly. But it's like I'm not really using the browser if I'm moving all these tabs to one tab. I am and I'm not, but it just seems like I was to use the browser the way I'm used to using it. I was having to change. I know I'm having to change moving to Qt browser, but I don't know. I just thought, well, I'm going to try Qt browser for a while. I tried it before, and the learning is a lot of keyboard shortcuts I have to learn, but there a lot of them are very similar to the Vivium extension, which I was already using. But it's similar to Next. I think it's been around longer. I think they've only got one developer, and he's part-time, and he's asking for donations, you know. But it's, you know, it's open source, and it's I'm liking it. It's fast. It doesn't use a lot of memory.
I'm going to try it out right now, Dave.
Huh?
It's very smart. It's already installed.
Yeah, you can configure it from within the browser.
It's like a VI editor?
Yeah.
In the browser?
Yeah. But if you go to like once you've got it open, you know, there's insert mode, there's normal mode, but I think if you just hit O, then in the status bar, you better put in a URL, and if you put in Qt:\bindings, it'll pull up the key bindings for you.
What disturbs me is, for some reason, I just can't get type Qt browser, Qute. I'm typing Cute browser all the time.
Yeah.
Ah, look at that. I like that. I like look at that. I can zoom in and out. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It's Ooh. It's pretty neat. I don't know if I'll go, but we'll see how long I make it my main browser.
Wait, so is it tabbed?
Yeah. There's tabs and you can if you type I'm not in front of it.
Oh,
right now.
Capital O.
Yeah, capital O.
There you go.
There we go. Okay, so then I can use what is the tab? What is the where did the there's documentation. So you can switch between tabs using J and K. Oh
yeah.
Oh, that's nice. That is Isn't so. It? That just works so beautifully. Like, I like that.
It's cool. It's like what I like about it, you know, it does the same thing, you know, that the Vivium extension does in Firefox, but you're using a whole lot less RAM. You can turn off the tab bar. You can toggle it to only show up when you switch tabs. You can turn off the status bar, and it can be just a web page is all you're looking at.
Well, so what's the deal with this? Because, like, when I started up the first time, it's got in one tab the documentation, in another tab it's search through DuckDuckGo, and on a third tab it's got a link to Dave Yates's flavored suppositories page. Are you like sponsoring this thing, Dave?
He's looking for donations, you know.
look at that. Now, you know, since we brought it up, apparently, and this is the first I'm hearing about it. And I don't think we've ever talked about this. This is Qtfish OS.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with it, Dave?
I've heard of it. Is that not a BSD thing or not?
No, it's not BSD. It's a Linux-based desktop.
Okay.
I'm just like, I'm on the page because when I was searching for Qt, I thought you meant Qute. And there's, they have a desktop environment called Qtfish. And I thought maybe it's like Sawfish that got upgraded. Or, like, I think Sawfish is still around, but it's not. I don't know if it's being developed anymore, really. Is it? Has it been?
I'm not sure.
Like, when was the last release of Sawfish? Desktop. Okay, here we go.
Well,
Sawfish Window Manager. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the GitHub page says
stable release was December 2021, and initial release was 2000. Stable release was 2021.
So one of the things that kind of gives me, like, so the cute fish desktop is in Arch Linux proper, but the one thing I like, when I look at the community, it's on SourceForge.
Yeah.
Does anybody use Source? Like,
there's some projects use it. I
thought that was like not the thing to do anymore. Like,
yeah.
SourceForge.
There's a bunch of old ones that didn't migrate or something. There's.
So I would like to really like to know. Oh, it's an Ubuntu base. Of course, it's Ubuntu base, right? It's either going to be Arch or Ubuntu these days.
Like Cutefish OS is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks nice. More power to them. I would give it a go. Maybe I'll install it. Or I'll say I'll install it and I'll forget. Next week I'll be like, Dave, I'm loving Cute Browser, but not Cute Fish because I haven't tried it.
Now, I tried on my Pi 5, I tried YouTube. That works. Did not try Netflix or anything like that because I'm pretty sure that those won't work because I'm pretty sure it doesn't support Widevine.
So people have found a way to make it work on any of the Raspberry Pis.
Has Widevine been ported?
Well, yeah, it's called something else, Silver something, I can't remember off the top of my head. But there's an entire browser that you can install that will just make it work. It's a whole lot easier than trying to get it all yourself. Or at least there was the last time I tried.
And, well, I don't watch Netflix on my Pi anyway, so I'm not going to mess with it.
I'm not expecting you to watch it on there. I'm just expecting you to test to see how well it works on there.
Maybe. I know, like, for everything else I do, it's more than enough. So, with exception of video editing, I haven't tried that yet. Probably won't, because it's been a while since I've edited a video. I don't do that many videos anymore.
How well did YouTube work?
Fine.
So you were able to do it at high quality and...
As far as I know, at least 1080p, which is fine.
No stuttering, no artifacting?
Not that I could detect. None that I could detect.
Oh, cool.
Granted, you know, got to consider I'm 53 and my eyes ain't what they used to be either.
Well,
so
the type of artifacting that, you know, I normally see on the older Pis, you would notice.
I didn't really notice it. I mean, it might have. It might. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I can't really notice a difference, to be honest, so.
Yeah, there is an official Pi Widevine now.
Okay. I might already have it installed for all I know because I use straight up Ubuntu on it. I'm not going to go away from Ubuntu on this, that's for sure.
So you're not going to try out Raspberry Pi OS? Just going to go straight for the Ubuntu install?
I already had it on there.
Yeah.
So. And I really don't like LXD that much.
That's easy to swap out.
Well, it is. I don't think I'd want to try KDE on it. Straight up GNOME or whatever Ubuntu uses now, which used to be Unity, but I think it's just altered GNOME now, I think.
GNOME might do okay. GNOME.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Cinnamon, or, well...
Cinnamon I have used on it before. Was it Linux Mint, maybe? I don't remember.
Yeah, Linux Mint has that base, but you can install it on anything. I mean, there's a Cinnamon Ubuntu. Or Ubuntu right. Cinnamon, I should say.
I'm running on this very machine that I've got Mumble Chat on. It's Debian, and I'm running KDE Plasma, and I'm using less than 4 four megabyte of RAM. I mean,
it's pretty good.
Yeah. Plasma is lighter weight than people think. It's efficient, put it that way.
Right.
Yeah, I'm using 3.72 gig of RAM. I've only got 8 on this machine, so I mean, it's in that right. respect, it's comparable to a Raspberry Pi. And it's a 4-core processor.
Right.
You know, it's an old one too. It's what is it?
Well, I've done some remote stuff where KDE was really the only option because it was the only thing right. that worked.
For me, but, it's more of what works better on the screen than I have it on, because I have I think it's 1080p. I don't know if it's 1080p, but it's really small. So I mean, it's not that big. It's not the 7-inch one. But it's
you can go with Mate. That would work.
Yeah,
fine.
Mate
and
works.
It's
more personal preference anyway.
Cinnamon anymore has a problem with small screens.
Right.
I mean, you can't scale like any of the the close button, the minimize button, and the maximize button up there at the top.
Yeah.
You can't manually tweak those as easily as you used to be able to. I understand you can go into the configuration file and tweak that until it's the right size. But yeah, it's a lot more manual.
Ever since netbooks went away, it seems like nobody gives a crap about small screens anymore.
You figure it would still be a thing considering how once you're using a 4K screen, it doesn't really matter what size right. it is. Crap's going to be too small.
Correct.
That's one of the things I love about plasma. I mean, I run i3 and console-based tools on my daily driver, but all these other computers that I rarely ever use, that I just want to sit down and do a task on, I've got plasma on there. But you can tweak the crap out of plasma. I mean.
Right.
Yeah, I might give it another try then. I mean, I've been a Cinnamon user for a long time.
Yeah.
And I have a couple.
I'm using it here. I'm using Plasma here on Manjaro. It works great.
But with some of the recent updates, I think since like 20, it's less tweakable than it was easily.
Right.
And I have a couple of really small screens, like my 1GX, which is like a 7-inch screen or something. And it's just some of it is not only difficult to see, but difficult to touch with my fat fingers.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's an extreme use case there, a screen that small. So yeah.
So I might, on your say so, I might give plasma a shot.
Oh no!
One of these days, I should order a battery for this laptop. It's my old laptop, so it doesn't really need. I mean, it's never not plugged in, but still, it's irritating.
It's a nice to have, too.
Yeah.
Because one of these days, the power might go out. Then what are you
True.
Supposed to do?
Use everything, anything else right now?
I got a couple of like high-powered batteries that will charge my 1GX. But even still, mm-hmm. I think with the way it consumes power, I might be able to get it to run for a day.
So, tomorrow at Joel's house, we're giving away full-size Reese cups and full-size Kit Kats.
That's awesome.
Chunk or trick or treat. Well, like several years ago, I'm like looking at buying the amount of mini or, you know, snack size or whatever you want to call them.
Fun size is what they're called.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Whatever. But it's like $60. And I'm like, $60. I can get 66, which is what I spent, 66 full size candy bars, and the kids will be much happier.
Yeah, but then you can only service 66 kids.
Yeah, but I could only do that too because I wouldn't give them just one of the little ones, you know.
Right. But no, it's insane how much, like, the prices on candy went up at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
What did you buy? I'm just curious.
Who?
Yeah, well, you. I don't know.
Multi-packs.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what size and how much was it? Do you recall?
It's the smaller ones. We bought three bags. I think the total came out to about
$100. $100?
Yeah.
Holy yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, it just depends on how many kids you got, you know, that come to the neighborhood.
We're expecting a fairly decent turnout. I mean, it won't be as good as it usually is since it's, you know, middle of the week. But, we'll probably go through all of that candy.
Why I don't much buy much more than two boxes.
How many pieces are in there?
I think between a couple of the bags were of the nicer ones were like 100 or something like that. And then one of them was like 200 or something, or 260.
So are they the
they're the smaller ones, so it's not like we're gonna be giving like one to each kid or something.
Right. Is it the minis or the
minis.
Because I got a
sounds like he's playing with them too.
Yeah, I got him in my hand right here, and I just want to check because I'm trying to remember how much this was, but it's 160 pieces of Milky Way M&Ms, Twix, and Snickers, and it was like I got it at
$30.
Was it Aldi or was it Lidl? And it was under $20.
Wow. Well, ours were like 25 to 30 each.
So I think it was like, you know, at first so I wanted to say it was like $9.99 or something like that, but maybe it was more like 15.
After taxes and stuff, it came out to about $100. I'm rounding up, obviously.
The kids actually come to y'all's door.
Yeah.
I've never had a trick-or-treater come to this house.
You live in the freaking sticks, though, man.
Well, there you go.
Are you out in the country? Do you have neighbors?
Oh, I can't see them. And
then that's obviously why.
Yeah,
the kids are going to go where the houses are clustered, man.
Yeah, and I live on a dead-end street, and no street light on my yard. It's awesome.
I wouldn't go to your house either.
Let's be honest, Dave.
I'd be afraid I'd be the candy.
Let's hear the truth. The truth is, the first year that the trick-or-treaters came to your house, you were handing out those candy-flavored suppositories, and everybody was like, what the hell is this? And then when they found out, they're like, we ain't ever... You're on the watch list right there. The parents are like, don't go to that house.
See, when I buy candy for a trick-or-treat, I don't mess around because would I buy like a big old bag of Dum Dums? Oh, hell no. Because Dum Dums is like the candy you get at the barber for free.
Yeah,
like,
but Dum Dums are great.
Dum Dums are great.
It's for the peasantry, Dan.
Look, it's quick, it's sweet, it's easy.
Well, it depends on what, you know, what your end goal is. For me, I buy stuff that I like.
See, I agree with you, Joel. I wouldn't hand out Dum Dums. Like, I think Dum Dums are great, but I wouldn't hand them out for Halloween. Like, when my dad would go out and get candy, come back with, like, Sweet Tarts and Smarties and stuff like that. Nobody wants that. They want Snickers and Baby Ruths and Joel's Buttfinger.
We bought the Sweet Tarts and Smarties for bulk, but then we also added in the good stuff to go with it. So if we give someone a handful, yes, they're going to get some of the stuff that is less liked, but they're also going to get some of the stuff that's more liked.
But don't get me wrong, Joe. I think Sweet Tarts and Smarties taste fantastic.
I like them too.
I was not like... If you get a big-ass bag of candy and it's got some Sweet Tarts and Smarties in there, that's not a bad thing.
Now, but
my children know that they're not going to get any of their Reese's that make it home.
There you go. Wait, Reese's peanut butter cups or pieces?
Well, yes.
Or both.
Did you ever get cinnamon discs or peppermint Starlight Mints in your trick-or-treat bag when you were a kid? I did.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's messed up? And I was surprised. My wife buys Starlight Mints.
The peppermint ones.
She has it on like a subscription order.
On Amazon?
Yeah, because the kids love them at school.
That's
blows my mind.
Regular peppermint candy, right?
Yeah. They love them. They love them. She, you know, if they did good on something or whatever, or they're behaving well, or sometimes she'll just give them out. Kids love them. They do.
They are good.
I'm like, what are you punishing these kids for? And she's like, no, they love them.
Weird.
There you go, huh? Things change.
Crazy.
If I got Starlight Mints for Halloween, you know, that's a bridge too far.
Right.
Yeah, it beats Whorehound.
I like Whorehound, but anyway.
And that's why nobody comes to your door, Dave.
That's right.
You got Whorehound in your...
Whorehound and rock candy. Homemade.
Rock candy. Homemade rock candy. Unwrapped.
Crystallized sugar on a string. Get out of here.
Or caramel apple.
Eats unwrapped candy.
Remember, one of the things that we used to get every once in a while when I was a kid, which I hardly ever see anymore, is wax lips.
Yeah, you don't see those anymore.
Or candy cigarettes.
Or those, you know? Yeah. Or the bubblegum cigarettes.
You can find candy cigarettes in like...
Oh, yeah, they're like, around.
Like, there's... You go
Barrel.
Yeah, you go to those, yeah, like, diners or restaurants, like, travel stop places, and they have, right, a little store attached to it. So I saw candy cigarettes in there. Like,
yeah, vintage candy.
We were driving through about a year ago.
Candy.
And I was like, oh, I'll buy them for the kids. And the wife's like, well, you know, get them each a box. I'm like, nah, we're going to get a case. They're still in my cupboard, man.
Oh, dude, give those out for Halloween. Do it. Give them out.
But they never go bad. Yeah.
Didn't one of y'all mention Mass General Store a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay, yeah. They have a whole vintage candy section that you can buy the old candy, and they probably have candy stores.
That's one of the few places that I go that we can find sugar-free Chico Sticks.
Yeah.
So my wife likes those.
You gotta sneak those candy cigarettes into all the kids' bags.
There you go.
When the parents are going through the bag after they get home, they're all like, "What the now, fuck? Who's giving this crap out?"
When I was a kid, we got those in our bag. I always liked the bubblegum ones because if you blew through the wrapper on the bubblegum cigarettes, you get a little puff smoke out. Yeah. Yep.
You know what I do is I take all of them and I just dump them in somebody else's bowl.
That's like the other
and then,
day I saw.
There you go. That's how the. Because what ends up happening here is like our street doesn't get a lot of trick or treaters because we're off the path, the main drag. So most of the people here are also going around with their kids on this street. So they just leave the bowl out in their stoop for kids to come.
The unattended bowl.
Yeah.
You know, that works until you get that one 15, 16 year old that's out for his last. Go trick or treating with his buddy, and they see the bowl, and they're like, "Yeah, dump this all in the bag. We're good to go now."
Now, surprisingly, that hasn't happened. It'll happen tomorrow night, right? But it hasn't happened around here. They're pretty good with that.
It only has to happen once.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Oh, sometimes it has to happen more than once. I'm the reason that the local Taco Bell doesn't give away mints anymore.
Because you turned them into a suppository?
No.
But, in the store?
You used to grab all of them, Dave?
I would
grab free napkins and free mints, and I'd get a handful of each and stuff them in my pockets and walk out the door when I left. They were good.
And hot sauce.
Yeah.
What kind of mints were they?
They were the soft peppermint. I mean, but they were soft,
like
the
soft
ones, the puff ones that kind of just melt in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know what you. Like if you put one in your mouth and you chew it and then you drink some water,
it's all
cold.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels cold.
There you go.
They were good while they lasted.
They used to have those. They would cycle between those kind of mints and the. Sometimes they'd have the Andes mints.
Yeah.
The Starlight Mints at the restaurant I worked at when I was growing up, and I used to eat
Andy's.
The shit out of all except the Starlight ones. I wasn't a big fan.
Andy's is what Chi Chi's had for their after, which I miss Chi Chi's, man.
You can't eat just one Andy's, man. You gotta You gotta make a stack of those things and stuff them in your mouth, right,
Dave? Yeah, you have to. They're so thin.
Did you ever have an after eight?
I never even heard of an after
eight. It's like dinner mint?
It's similar. Yeah, they're really thin. Hershey made them. And they had like a peppermint goo in the middle. They're very thin, though.
Yeah.
They're different than Andes.
No, they're made by Nestle. Okay, I'm looking at them here.
Well, are they? I thought they were made by Hershey. Hold on.
No, Nestle after. Doesn't Hershey now own Nestle or something like that?
Maybe. No. Because I remember, thing about those that I remember is getting them. Dad got them at Chocolate World, all right?
Well, and back then they might have not been made by Nestle. Well, they started by a UK company, Rowntree.
Rowntree,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that also did Rolos at the time.
Oh, I love Rolos.
They're okay. They're not my favorite.
Get a big bag of the unwrapped Rolos. Those are good.
I like getting Japanese Kit Kats.
Are they less sweet? Flavor?
Well, I like. Well, they have all. Japanese has like the Japan makes all sorts of different flavors of Kit Kats.
They have that green tea flavored.
Oh, those are delicious. The green tea ones are good. They even have ones there that are baked that you can bake in the oven. I don't know how they work, but they do apparently. But they have like. Green tea I've had. They literally, in Japan, there's literally a special store that has nothing but Kit Kats. And they have, like all sorts of different varieties. Like, they'll have Kit Kats where, you know, it's the normal Kit Kat, but it's got stuff on top of it. They made Japanese sweet potato Kit Kats.
I like Kit Kats, but when they start getting into the other flavors, like maybe one is good, but a whole
If you haven't tried the green tea ones, you should, and they are on the Amazon.
I think I've tried those. I've also tried the pink lemonade, which was actually it wasn't that bad.
That was a Hershey. Yeah, that was one a Hershey did actually.
And I wouldn't eat a whole bunch of them. Like just trying one was good enough for me.
Yep. Yeah, Hershey and that Kit Kats are one of those things. Hershey makes them in the States. Nestle makes them pretty much everywhere else.
I think if you go to Five Below, you can get a lot of the Japanese flavored Kit Kats.
You can, yeah, or Pocky too.
Yeah, Five Below is a good selection. Or your
Pocky
Asian
is
market.
Awesome. I like the green tea Pocky, the almond crunch ones.
All of them.
Yeah, I haven't had a bad Pocky yet, to be honest.
That's what you should hand out for Halloween. Pocky, man. Everybody loves Pocky. And kids love Pockies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but getting individual packets.
That crap is Pocky.
It's you never heard of Pockies?
It's basically Pocky. Breadsticks covered in chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, basically, and they're good.
I like Hot Chews. Completely different kind of candy, but I like
Hot Chews. That's another Japanese one.
Yeah. You know why that was invented?
Oh, Hi-Chew. H-I-C-H-W, right?
No, Hi-Chews is considered rude to chew gum in public. So they made something that didn't last as long as gum.
Well, see, this one I don't think I tried. The Kit Kat Hokkaido, which is flavored with azuki beans and strawberry chocolate. I don't think I'd like that one. It's the azuki red bean paste that they'll have in a lot of things. I'd probably try that one.
My wife loves the red bean paste. I'm
sure.
I think it's okay.
But yeah, but Japan is the one that started flavoring the Kit Kats. Hershey just started doing some of them. The ones that sold. Like, you got milk tea Kit Kat. Green tea ones are really good. I like those ones. Not that I eat that many of them anymore. I do enjoy a chocolate every once in a while. And well, I probably will tomorrow, too.
I have a serving of Reese's almost every day.
Now, do you like just the regular Reese's ones or the mini ones or
the
all
Reese's
of them?
The Reese's unwrapped. I like them all. But I usually get the Reese's unwrapped because it's really easy to, you know, get one serving, so 9 pieces. Then I put that into my oatmeal. My peanut butter flavored oatmeal.
Okay.
While it's still hot, you know, and I mix it up and it really makes the flavor pop in the oatmeal.
Now, I find the white Reese's cups made out of white chocolates are disgusting.
Disgusting, but
they're not as good as a regular one.
Nowhere near as good, but they're not disgusting. I wouldn't eat, you know. When I was in high school, I worked at a grocery store, and I had done something similar when I worked at McDonald's, which was somebody said, I heard you can eat a lot. And I said, well, if you're paying for it, I will. And I think I ate 9 hamburgers and I'm on a break at McDonald's that somebody else paid for.
Jesus.
But I ate 36 Reese's cups and like on break when I worked at this grocery store. And that was painful.
36.
I imagine that didn't feel real good.
No, it didn't.
Afterwards,
it felt a whole lot worse than the
not McDonald's, but
all that milk and sugar sitting in your stomach.
It was not good.
Oh,
not McDonald's, but Wendy's. Don't bother with the Krabby Patty SpongeBob collab burger. It's kind of lame. I mean,
that frosty that they had that came with it. That
looked like a bomb. I didn't try it yet.
It's good.
Is it? Okay. Pineapple. Good. Yeah, pineapple under the sea frosty. If they still have it, I'm going to have to try that. Because I like pineapple. I like to eat, you ever had a pineapple and cottage cheese?
Yes, all the time.
It's delicious. In fact, I got one of those breakstone things down in my fridge.
Cottage cheese. Peaches and cottage cheese.
Fruit. Yeah, I got some of them.
And cottage cheese.
Yeah. The little single serve ones with the little pocket of fruit with it.
Blueberries and cottage cheese. Yeah, those are good. I know the one you're talking about. And I love those.
The breakstones. Yep.
Well, there's another company that makes them where they're already like the fruit stuff is sitting on top of the cottage cheese and you just mix it together after you open it.
I'll have to look for those.
They're usually right there next to the Brickstones at Walmart.
I do get Chobani yogurts, the Greek yogurt.
You'd be surprised what you can do with unflavored Greek yogurt make it taste like just about anything. I mean, mix in a little bit of fat-free cheese and some nacho cheese powder for popcorn and then heat it up and mix it and heat it up and mix it. And you basically got a high protein, lower calorie, less fat nacho cheese.
Now, went to Sam's Club last Friday and guess what they had? Back again, the triple box of Chex cereal. So it's Chex Mix season time. In fact, I got some downstairs. And I might have a bowl after the show.
You going to do some barbecue Chex Mix?
I did try, I've made it before, but I tried making the buffalo flavored one. And I bought the buffalo flavored Cheez-Its for the crackers. And I smoked it on the Pit Boss. And it was okay, although I used, instead of using the Frank's Red Hot Wing Sauce, I used the Hot Ones Buffalo Flavor Wing Sauce. And it was okay, but I need to dump half the whole damn bottle in next time because it wasn't that spicy. fact, I just finished the rest of that off today at lunch. And at least you get some of the enrichment off the vitamins when you eat Chex Mix, or off the cereal when you eat Chex Mix, especially the homemade version. Barbecue, I'm going to have to look. I'm pretty sure there is a recipe for making the barbecue flavored, which I would like to smoke too.
My daughter likes making Rice Krispies treats.
No.
Out of the holiday cereals that come out. So.
Ah. Yeah.
Speaking of holiday cereals,
my wife's been on the lookout for Count Chocula, and she didn't find any, so she found this other
Count Chocula themed.
Yeah, I've seen it too, but this particular day didn't have any. But there's this, you know, there's Booberry, Frankenberry, Count Chocula. There's evidently this new one, and I forget the name of it. Creepy
Crawler. Monster
Mash? No, it's green, and it's caramel apple flavor. It is awful. It's absolutely awful. I do not recommend it.
I mean, I remember a time when they just always were there because that was just cereal.
Yeah.
Dave, I saw them at Aldi this past week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen them. It's just that particular day she was craving them, she couldn't find them.
That sucks. I feel bad for your wife. Why didn't you go out and find them for her? What were you doing?
Wasn't thinking about her, obviously.
Now, see, and they even, since they went seasonal with those, they even brought back some of the old flavors, like Fruit Brute, which I never remembered. I always remember it was always Blueberry, Count Chocula, and Frankenberry. And the thing they always were the cereal shapes were always the same. They were round when I was a kid. Yeah. They also got Yummy Mummy.
Yeah, I probably mentioned this before. I feel like I have maybe years ago, but y'all remember Quisp?
I do, actually.
It was flying saucer shaped and had the alien on the front.
Yep.
Yep, I remember it, but it didn't taste like much. Oh, you had Carmella Creeper.
Yeah, that is awful.
No,
it didn't look good. It's green. I mean,
well, Apple Jacks is green and orange, and it's good.
Non-food related, and only because it's getting close to 10. I can't find the news story. I saw it earlier this week, and it may be really not a big deal, but I read that the Sync Thing mobile app is dying. I mean, it's going to be discontinued. But I think I use Sync Thing Fork for an Android app, which probably won't be. I don't know if any of you guys use Sync Thing.
I did a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm not. I mine gets used daily, but it's sort of automated, and I don't even think about it. And so I'm using it, but I'm not.
I mean, when I was hunting around for something good to automatically sync between my phone and computer, it was one of the things that I had tried that worked, but I liked. Brazilio Sync, well, at the time it would have been BT Sync better.
Yeah.
And now everybody nagged me until I started using Nextcloud.
Yeah, and I love Nextcloud. Absolutely love it.
But see, that's what I use. I'm trying to remember. What the heck is Open Media Vault? That's what I use. Which also has a doctor with it. No, well, you can do that, but I have a Ambi in a Docker container, and just this week I fired up the Charlie Brown. It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown because I bought the Blu-rays years ago and ripped them.
All my apples are in the Plex box. I've been tempted many times to switch to Jellyfin, but.
I hear it doesn't have as much functionality, but I also hear that, you know, there's going to be a lot more oversight in the future with Plex.
Right.
Yeah, I It kind of annoys me that everything is automatically attached to Flex.tv.
Right.
When you say more oversight, what do you mean?
Oh, they're going to start cracking down on if you have something that's pirated or if you have something that isn't pirated, but you share it with family members that aren't in your location.
Definitely if you use the pay version and it's connected to the cloud stuff. That's kind of why I use MB instead, because I don't, you know, would I like to watch my content from anywhere? Yes.
Well,
but do I trust it, the security of it? No.
I hear Jellyfin, don't they have a Roku app now?
Yeah, I'm sure
they do. Yeah.
And that's still,
and MB has,
you know,
that too, right.
Right, it's still all local to you, and you got to point at the server and open the port.
Now, what I do want to do, eventually I should pay for the MB app. If you do the paid version of the MB app, you can download from your home server onto your tablet or phone, which would be handy. I mean, there's not much, like, I've been watching, like, a lot of stuff on Paramount Plus lately. I've been watching, I've been going through The Next Generation again. I'm on season 3, when it started getting good.
Oddly enough, I watched Rambo First Blood on YouTube.
Ooh. Oh, there's a lot of good stuff on YouTube right now.
Wait, which one is that?
That's the first one.
First Blood.
I didn't know whether one of the later ones. I thought there was like First Blood, then it was Rambo, and then Rambo First Blood might have been a third.
Rambo was the fifth one.
What was the second one called?
Blood Part 2.
Oh, okay.
I think. Let me see, because I ended up getting it. Rambo First Blood Part 2. Third one was called Rambo 3. And then the fourth one was called Rambo.
Yeah, okay.
I think that was the last one, was the fourth one.
I haven't seen 3 and 4. I watched the hell out of the first one. I loved it. I watched a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the second one a lot, too.
I liked the first one. The second one was not as interesting. I think the third one had some slightly interesting parts at the beginning. Oh, excuse me. Rambo, the fourth one, was not the last one. Rambo Last Blood was the last one.
Okay, yeah, Last Blood.
Christ, how old was he in that movie?
Too old.
70-something, and he's just frigging Jack. But that's when he got in trouble for being all on all that growth hormone in Australia.
And what's he doing today?
Oh, he's got that TV show. Tulsa King.
Tulsa King.
I really like Tulsa King.
I do too. I think we finished this current season. I'm enjoying it.
Was it a shorter season?
We may not have finished it. No, I don't think we have. I tell you, we just finished episode 7, so no, we've season 2, so it's not over yet.
Right. It should go up to 9.
Yeah, it's, I guess, I'm not a huge fan. What's the director's name? Sheridan? Like, I wasn't a Yellowstone fan. But I'm enjoying this show. Well, maybe he has nothing to do with it. This is directed by Kevin Dowling. I don't know. I thought this was a Tyler Sheridan show or something.
Is he the associate producer, the executive producer?
Not sure. Blake's sitting telling me. Maybe I have to look at IMDb or something, but.
No, but I've only watched like the first 2 episodes, I think, of this most recent season, and then now I'm like 5 episodes behind.
I enjoy it because it's there's some really funny parts in it. I mean,
oh yeah, oh yeah,
it's good. Yeah, Taylor Sheridan is the creator. This is my favorite thing that he's done.
How's that time, gents?
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Headset's about to die anyway.
Oh. I was just messing around with Q Browser, baby, trying to see.
It's good. I just closed Firefox, and that's all I've been using for 4 days, and it's.
Oh, look at that! Aha. You know what's weird is when I first went to it, and I opened up in a new tab, and I went to sign in. It kept closing the tab when I'd hit D, which was weird. And I guess, I don't know. But I'm liking it, Dave. I'm liking it. It's that time, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I better bring up. Okay, here we go. The outro. All right. Have a happy Halloween, everybody.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, the great outdoors is free on YouTube now.
John Candy?
Yes, sir.
That's the first movie my wife and I saw on our first date.
Mine was still Apollo married. 13.
Apollo 13?
Yep. It's one of the ones we watched together the first time.
Can you guess what mine was, Dave?
Dirty Dancing.
No, come on. I'm not that old.
Roadhouse.
No.
Something with Patrick Swayze.
No, Patrick. All right, let's see if you can guess. I'm not going to say the big name first that was in it, but
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, but I did see Rocky Horror Picture Show on this past Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh crap! What's his name?
Dan Aykroyd.
No.
Kevin Bacon.
No.
Ted Danson.
No.
Terry Garr died.
Yeah,
she died. I'm sorry.
79.
Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank on everybody's name in this damn thing. Yeah, so, it was Bill Pullman. That's not one thing.
Independence Day.
That was the first movie we...
Yeah.
That was our first
1994.
Day. Independence Day. I couldn't remember Jeff Goldblum's name, and I did want to say Will Smith because
and Randy Quaid. Right. Yeah,
I should.
Randy
just...
Quaid was the.
He played himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. All right. Wait, Joe. What was the first movie you saw with your wife?
It was horrible. I think it was Time Stoppers, and we walked out partway through.
Time Stoppers.
Now I gotta look that one up. I don't even remember that.
I think that's what it was called. It was about these people that were traveling through time or something.
Wait, wasn't it Clock Stoppers? Really bad. Or was it Time
Stoppers? Clock Stoppers, it could have been that. It was garbage. And literally, we walked out. Clock Stoppers, yeah. We walked out halfway through.
Man. Dave's first movie he took his wife to was actually Boogie Nights, wasn't it, Dave? As you walked out, you were like, don't you get it? Don't you get it? Your hopes up.
Fred Stewart was in Clock Stoppers.
The guy from Third Rock of the Sun.
Oh, my God.
Play us out, man.
I'm playing this out. Here we go.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community
for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Hey, Dave, quick question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say I'm in Gmail on Q Browser.
Uh-huh.
And I can use the J and K to go up and down. How do I actually open one of the emails?
Hit F.
Oh.
And there's your hint. So just type a hint and it should open it.
That's what he said.
Oh, there we go.
And I think a capital F will open it in another tab, maybe.
Huh. Oh, man, I like that. That is nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah, you just hit the F and you're good to go. And I just get right back to that. Wait, let me see. Let me see if I can do this. F. Let's go to that one. F. Oh, JF. And then there's. Oh, my goodness, Dave. This is so. I love it.
Isn't it awesome?
You know, I'll tell you what. I try time and time again to use the whatever IDE text editor that they use at work, whatever. I've tried Sublime, Atom.
I haven't found one on a Mac that I like yet.
Visual Studio Code, and invariably
nothing beats Vim.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm always back to. Invariably, I always try to use the Vim key bindings, and it just annoys me. Like, I don't know why I just can't freaking. I don't know if it's me or if it's how they're implemented. It doesn't
work like it.
It like doesn't work like I expect it to do. I'm like, it becomes more of a pain in the ass than it is now. I wish if other things were as simple with the key bindings, like Vim type key bindings, where you could just press that F and then it just gives you like the shortcuts things.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That is so nice. I've really much like that.
And you can have that in Firefox or Google or Chrome, you know, the F thing with Vivium, that extension. It's awesome.
Maybe I will try that because I like that a lot. Yeah, so I always come back to Vim.
You get all you get a gob of Vim shortcuts with that Vivium extension. And it works really good too.
Well, let me see.
So if you don't want to use Q Browser all the time, you just use the Vivium extension in Firefox or Chrome or Edge or whatever you're using.
I always forget where they move the extension stuff to.
It's under manage.
Okay. Vimium. Yeah. Vimium, right?
V-I-V-I-U-M.
Yep. Okay, so let's see.
You'll like that.
Let's see. Extensions. Where are my extensions? Wait, is Vivium? No, I don't want to personalize my Firefox. Oh, there's Vivium. Okay, so is Vivium running on the? Well, wait, your browser does not run web extensions like Vimium on certain pages, usually for security reasons. Okay, so is Vivium? Okay, so. Oh, look at that. You're right, Dave. Oh, it works. Yeah.
And just hit question mark, and you'll get a pop-up with all your bindings and a link to the options in the wiki.
Wiki-wiki-wiki-woo.
Oh, look at that.
That's nice.
I still have to log into work and check for P2s and P3s that we don't get paged for.
You're welcome, Dan. Now use this.
Using it right now.
Don't forget about
yeah,
it.
I'm gonna install it. I'm gonna install
Debian at work.
The extension. Yeah, probably because I ran it a long time ago and it's a lot better now. It's just that anyway. Oh, all right. Let me stop this.
Browsers that don't suck.
And when she asks me what I want, I say whatever's easiest because she does the cooking, I do the cleaning. So I ate it with a grin on my face. I told her, I said, I don't love beef stew, but this is good. It was good.
Do you love squirrel stew?
No.
What don't you like about beef stew?
Carrots. I don't like to put anything on my rice. I don't like beef stew on rice. So it's just a pile of wet beef with some vegetables and onions, which is good, but it's like somebody dumped chunky soup in my plate. I don't know. It's the form factor.
I don't know, man. Your wife serves beef stew over rice?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a Southern thing? I've never
maybe
heard that.
Everybody does.
Maybe
it
it's a Clemson
here.
Thing.
I don't know. I mean, my daughter does it. My wife does it. Both my daughters do it. My mother-in-law does it.
Well,
my
okay.
Family does it.
There's the pattern right there.
Well, I mean,
so when you get outside of your family, is that something that's served like that?
I don't eat with a lot of people, but I mean, I eat with my parents, who are not blood kin to my wife. Oddly enough, and ate with her sister's family, and ate with my wife's family, and that's it. And everybody puts their beef stew on top of their rice.
Huh.
I don't.
See, go ahead. Sorry.
I think that I would probably enjoy it better if it were in a bowl. I mean, it is stew. But they put it on plates. And so, you know, I guess I never thought to put it in a bowl because everybody just dumps it on their rice, but...
That's interesting because I've had beef stew always in a bowl, first
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
Secondly, either over just itself or over mashed potatoes or maybe even like wide egg noodles. But never have I had beef stew over rice.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody were to, you know, be in dire straits down here and had to buy a can of Dinty Moore beef stew, they would not heat that up in a bowl and eat it. They would heat it up and then dump it on rice.
And leave their self-respect at the store.
Yeah, they would do that too, yeah. And they would have to be in dire straits.
How? Damn, jeez. Interesting. Now, do they make rice, or do you buy like instant rice, or do you buy pre-made rice? I don't know. Did they even sell pre-made rice?
Right, my wife buys bags of jasmine rice and cooks it. I mean, she boils it, but I think it's boiling bag.
A boiling a bag,
steamer bags.
Steamer, yeah. I mean, it's a bag of rice you put in boiling water.
Okay.
I mean, she's made rice out of a box before, too. I mean,
out of a box?
Well, I think rice comes in a box.
Yes, it does come in a box.
Yeah, and it comes in bags.
Rice-a-roni? I
mean, well, I mean, she's made rice that
no,
you can
get,
pour.
Like, minute rice in a box.
Yeah, so I've seen rice
instant
in
rice.
Bags and box. And I guess you can buy, you know, 25 pounds of, you know, big bag of, like, for a better term, raw rice. I don't know what it's called.
Raw rice. Just rice. Yeah, rice. That's how I usually buy it in the big-ass bags.
Yeah, okay.
The Asian market has it really cheap, comparatively speaking, everywhere else. If you're getting different kinds of rice. Like if I wanted to get the best prices on rice, like basmati rice or jasmine or sushi rice, I usually go to the Asian market. They have them like dirt cheap, comparatively speaking.
Sushi rice is just like sticky rice.
Close.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, essentially, it's a medium grain rice.
I don't know what makes sticky rice other than maybe the way you cook it. I know that the Mongolian.
You leave more of the starch in it.
Okay. I know the Mongolian beef dish I always get whenever I go to any Chinese restaurant. It has sticky rice, which I like. Makes it easier to pick up with chopsticks, too, I'd imagine, than regular rice.
Yeah, well, medium grain rice tends to be. You get the fat medium grain rice, it gets on the sticky side.
Okay.
I love that rice.
He loves it when it's sticky.
I love sticky. I love it when it's sticking all over things, Dave. Sticking all over my face. I'll run my tongue along my face and clean it off my beard, and then I have to pick into it. And
a rice will get stuck in your beard. It'll hide in there.
Yeah. They save it for later. A snack for later, baby.
Right?
Like, what's this? Is it a rice? A rat turd?
A freeze-dried maggot?
Makes your beard hair very soft. I hear rice water is real good for conditioning the hair.
Really?
Yeah.
This sounds like you want me to try something.
Oh, no, I've just heard that rice water is good for the hair.
Okay.
Rice water is good for
the skin, too.
It's good for the garden, too.
Really?
Yeah, it's good for a lot of stuff. It's got...
Yeah, just do a quick Google search on uses for rice water.
Oh, what is it? Is it the starch? Is it?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, that's one thing I haven't looked up the mechanism on what makes it be effective.
Well,
yeah. I mean,
when you make rice, you should wash it and then let it soak for a bit and then drain that water. Like when you're washing it, you drain the water off of it and then you wash it, and so it gets off a lot of the starch, the excess dusting starch on the outside.
I mean, here's what I know about collagen, I guess, is a protein, and it can do what's called, it can cross-link. You know, it's used in making gelatin, and when it cross-links, the gelatin becomes firm. And that's used in textiles, too, to make wrinkle-free clothes. And I wonder if starch, like spray-on starch, which is used in ironing, if it does something to the collagen or the protein that's similar to collagen to break cross-linking and make something softer or smoother. I wonder if that's the mechanism for rice water and hair, because hair's the protein. If the starch is doing something, cross-linking is when there's but when, I guess, peptide chains will break and they'll reform binds that are shorter, which tends to make it firmer or harder. I wonder if that's the mechanism for rice water and hair. Sorry, I got a little food science on you there. You're not looking it up, are you?
How about you don't worry what I'm doing over here?
Yeah, we just gave him his next billion-dollar idea for, you know, rice water suppository.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know starch bonds with fat also.
Yeah.
So that's...
It does
with proteins.
Starch, it may so. Work as a conditioner, too. I mean, if it's taking fat out, I don't know, oils... It may just be what it's doing, too. But a lot of people, you know, they like oil. They want the oil to be in the beard. I don't know. I'm not going to...
Well, no, I don't think it would... It would help bind and retain the oil on the surface of the beard.
Okay.
I don't know. Look it up. Find out.
Not remove it.
That's what Google's for. I'd do it, but I got 100 pounds worth of weight in the air.
But do you use beard oil, Dave?
Occasionally. I bought some last week, and that was the first time I bought any in probably 6 months. And the first time I didn't even have any for 6 months, so I don't use it often. But I like the smell of tea tree, so I got some tea tree beard oil.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't use it enough. I use a beard shampoo, and that's about it. I used to put stuff
Honest
in it.
Amish.
I got some vanilla. I did like cedar, orange, sage, mirror, all those. I got vanilla the last time, and I'm loving that. Oh, I love the smell of that.
You and your outdoor showers and your hippie lifestyle, I thought you'd like patchouli or something.
Yeah, rice water is good for hair.
Okay.
Yeah, it helps to improve the strength, repairs damaged hair, and helps to prevent breakage.
Okay, you remember at 6, 8 years, maybe 10 years ago, the big craze, I guess, with women. I don't know if it was a craze or not, but I think it was a whole lot more popular, or became on my radar, having daughters. People putting argan oil in their beard or in their
still
hair.
Do.
Yeah, okay.
Still
yeah.
Do.
You know how that's harvested? Argan oil?
No, how's it harvested?
It's a bean, sort of like a coffee bean, maybe a nut, I'm not sure, but it grows in a tree in Africa. And they have goats that climb this argan tree, or the tree that the argan oil is harvested from. They go up there and they eat it, then they come down and they poop it out, then they hire people to dig through the goat poop and pull out the beans. So it's sort of like that Kobe, what's the coffee called?
Oh, the cat shit coffee?
Yeah, yeah. It's harvested like that.
Yummy, 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 right?
Yep.
But you're not supposed to eat argan oil, so. When you don't like that, Dave? You don't like a little
No, poop? I don't buy it.
No, sometimes I use oils. A lot of times I use like beard balms.
Yeah.
Or just leave-in conditioners. A lot of them argan oil. Thanks for telling me that.
Oh, you're welcome. Y'all don't straighten your beard, do you?
Do what the beard?
Straighten it.
You know, I have straightened my beard like once in the past. The wife wanted to do it, so we did it.
What did you think?
It was different.
That's something I don't think. I've never done it. I mean, I had a barber do it once and it's like, I don't like that. So.
You know what you should do, Dave?
What's that?
You should straighten your pubic hair so it sticks out like a porcupine.
Okay.
Knocks out Joel's eye.
You know, I can't think of a safe way to do that.
I don't know what's involved in straightening. Is it an iron that you straighten your hair with? Okay, well, yeah, I guess you got to be
very
really careful.
Very sensitive area to have that down there.
How you doing, Joel?
I'm okay. I'm on call for Bangalore because they're celebrating Diwali.
Awesome.
Not awesome. I got to be awake till 2.
You just have to be awake enough to answer the phone till 2.
How long is that celebrated?
Well, this is true.
Is that a week thing or a day thing? How long is Diwali celebrated?
Let me look. I know what we're covering.
I would think that's like probably a week, but I don't know.
It's not that long.
I know that, I believe it's Monday, a bunch of our contractors have off.
Yeah, it's going to depend on the company. Now, ours is, let's see, the real dates are the 30th and 31st. So, and there is
today and tomorrow.
Well, actually, 30th, 31st, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of November. But we're only covering tonight all the way through 8 p.m. tomorrow. And then one of the Bangalore folks are coming back on at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And they will have someone over on call over the weekend, too. But most of the team will have off tomorrow. Except for us U.S. and Latin American folks. And thankfully, the guy that was out for his the surgery that I was going to get, one of my coworkers, he got it. He actually got it. And he had his last week. So now I don't need it. So
that's awesome. Well,
get it out of your system. We want to hear about it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. I actually want to hear about it. I mean, I'm joking around and stuff, but, you know. Congratulations.
Oh, crap, that's right. You guys didn't know. I got my
appointment last Friday. I no longer need the surgery because my sleep apnea is only mild now. So my pressure was at 20 centimeters of water and is now 10 centimeters. And wow. I have an appointment January 15th to get the process rolling to get a oral appliance, and then I won't need CPAP at all.
Cool.
I just had to pop that thing in my mouth at night.
Yeah. I could make a comment there, but I'm choosing not to.
God bless you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
And this morning I did a 3-mile ruck with 30 pounds on my back.
Cool.
I might actually go for a walk at midnight just so that I can get my exercise in, so that sometime during the day tomorrow I can take a nap.
Well, I placed third in my 5K in my age range of the Masters.
Wow.
Well, congratulations, Dave.
Listen,
there was only one other person in there, right?
There were at least five, I think.
That's
there was
great.
Only 23 people ran, so it really was not an accomplishment, I promise.
What are you talking about? You know what? You showed up.
The 5K was supposed to take
place. How old are you?
I'm 58.
That's an accomplishment.
Well, I don't know. I mean, literally, all 23 people won something because it was that small a field.
Did you finish?
Yeah, yeah. And
that's an accomplishment at your age.
It is.
I was
just like it'll be for me.
I was disappointed, even though it's the first one I've done in years.
But how many other people do you know your age that could have done that, statistically speaking?
There was an 85-year-old man that did it.
He's exceptional.
He's not your age yet, Dave. You're not his age yet, Dave. Come on.
But
give yourself a little bit of credit.
But I think the very first 5K I ever ran in was a similar situation. It was a first annual thing, and nobody showed up, and I came in first in that one. That was years ago. I was in my 40s, but
you were the only one there?
No, but I was the only one there over 50, I think, or above 45 at the time.
Oh.
But this one was supposed to take place the week the hurricane hit, so they postponed it. So I think there was going to be 100 or 200 people show up, but because they had to move the date, less people showed up. So
let's get this show started.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave says, yeah, we can do it to it like a French tickler.
Okay.
I'm just saying
like
what's on Dave's
like
mind.
Like Dirk Diggler?
Yeah. Who? Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler. Come on, dude.
I know Dirk Diggler, Boogie Nights, baby.
That's right.
Dave, you saw Boogie Nights, right?
I did.
You went back for a second showing.
That name was used elsewhere too, but.
All right. What episode is this, Dave?
1074.
You got it.
Damn! How do you remember that crap?
I got a little text file.
Oh, there you go. Is that what you do?
Call the website.
No. I type it in as text file every week.